Let's see what Mr. Radioland's got.
Are you all ready?
Oh, God, no. Something else. Come on, what you got? What you got? What? No. Something else. Come on. Oh, jeez, not this song again. Come on. Something. Come on, what you got? What you got?
Hey, now, what's this? Let's give this a listen.
Hello, lovers of music, and welcome to Sounds Atlantic. Since this podcast began last month, I've been featuring interviews from artists in Atlantic Canada who have visited to showcase their recent recordings. And there'll be lots more of these to come, including the Barra McNeils from Nova Scotia, Prince Edward Island's popular traditional group, Vishten, will be paying us a visit too, along with Sherry Ryan from Newfoundland and Labrador, and Wayne Chalk. You may recognize Wayne as part of the group Buddy Was His Name and the other fellas. Now, in just a couple of days, on November 11th, Canadians will celebrate Remembrance Day as we pay tribute to the men and women who have given their lives in service to this country. This sixth episode of Sounds Atlantic is devoted to our veterans, lest we forget their ultimate service to this country. But just before we get going, I'd like to raise a big shout-out to all of you who have tuned in to this podcast, which began back on October 5th with our showcase of music from the Newfoundland trio called The Once. So here's to you listening in from Sweden, Great Britain, Colombia, South America, wow, about that, Seattle, Washington, and Graysonville, Maryland, in the United States, and in Canada from Vancouver, Victoria, White Rock, and Sydney in B.C., Montreal and Drummondville in Quebec, Ottawa, Toronto, Brockville and Brampton in Ontario, Halifax, Dartmouth, Pictou and Chelsea in Nova Scotia, Grand Falls, Windsor, Tompkins in Conception Bay in Newfoundland and Labrador, and last but not least, Charlottetown in Prince Edward Island. Here's to all of you for tuning in. Great to have you aboard, and I can tell you that without you and without hesitation, you're what is keeping this podcast coming, so please continue to tune in, and if you would, spread the word to your friends too. This episode number 6 is dedicated to you, and it's also dedicated to all the veterans and their families who have given their lives to keep Canada the beautiful country that it is. I'm your host, Ron Moores, and I'm inviting you to join me for part 1 of our celebration on Remembrance Day in Canada. Happens on November 11th. So stay tuned. I'll be back with all of this and more in a finger's snap. Now, I think we're all familiar with John McCrae's iconic poem, In Flanders Fields. It was written during the First World War by Canadian physician Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae on May the 3rd, 1915, after presiding over the funeral of a friend and fellow soldier Alex Helmer, who died in the Second Battle of Ypres. In Flanders Fields has, of course, always struck me as a very moving lyric every time I hear it at commemorative events, but not until I listened to Leonard Cohen recite it did I fully appreciate the incredible power of this poem that was recorded in collaboration with the Canadian Legion. It strikes at the core of what Remembrance Day is all about. This is for all of you Legionnaires out there.
Flanders fields, the poppies blow, between the crosses row on row that mark our place. And in the sky, the larks, still bravely singing, fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago, we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved. And now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands, we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields.
So that was the voice of Canadian cultural icon Leonard Cohen, who died on Monday, November 7th, 2016, just a couple of years ago. Now this leads me to play some tracks that have been written about the men and women who have served us in the name of freedom and who, when they return home, continue to suffer from the psychological wounds of armed conflict, but more often than not, in silence. So I'd like to begin this show with a telling song written on this subject by Cape Breton singer-songwriter and instrumental magician. He's J.P. Cormier, and he wrote this song about soldiers who suffer, as I write this, in fact, from post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD. Now, I didn't know this until recently, but as a child, J.P. Cormier suffered severe abuse, from a mother who would, in J.P.'s words, chase me with knives, guns, hatchets, and baseball bats. She used to grab anything she could get her hands on to threaten me. Well, music was always J.P.'s escape. He left home at the age of 15 to join the Sullivan Family, an Alabama-based gospel bluegrass band in the United States, going on to play with Waylon Jennings, Marty Stewart, Earl Scruggs, and others. He recorded his first album at age 16 and played on the festival circuit as well as the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville. Back then, he was better known below the border than he was here in his homeland. Well, since his return to Canada, he's won 13 or more East Coast Music Awards now, and at least a Canadian Folk Music Award. But despite these successes, Cormier's story is no fairy tale. Within the last year, he was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD. He said he now recognizes that a lifetime struggle with anxiety and panic attacks were a result of the abuse he suffered as a child. PTSD is often associated with military service and experienced by returning veterans, as described in Cormier's song Hometown Battlefield. But he said childhood abuse is actually a more common cause of the condition. Cormier is now speaking publicly about his experience with PTSD, using his platform as a respected musician to encourage others suffering with the condition to seek help. At the same time, there is apparently an ongoing discussion with the government about whether to count among our war dead soldiers who return home from the battlefields alive, only to take their own lives as a result of PTSD. Well, a few years ago, JP recorded a song about this and posted it on Facebook, and the response was both immediate and astonishing. Here in his own words is JP Cormier describing the context in which he wrote Hometown Battlefield, Lest We Forget.
Hi, guys. What you're about to see is the culmination thus far of a song that I wrote last Friday night. And I recorded it. I wrote the song in about 10 minutes and recorded it. The first time I ever sang it was that video. And I put it up on Facebook. And as of tonight, at about 7 o'clock in this massive snowstorm here we're having in Nova Scotia. We're at 700,000 people who have seen the post and interacted with it in some way. And I've heard from literally thousands of soldiers and soldier families and people who are affected by PTSD and have lost people to PTSD. And we wanted to make a lyric video for the song. And instead of using stock footage or anything else like that, instead I asked all these people who have been with me on this journey for the last week to send me photographs of themselves or their lost loved ones or the people in their family who are soldiers and affected by this disorder. And so what you're about to see is a montage video, a lyric video, of all these people who have embraced the song and me, and I'm embracing them back.
He got home from the service as the spring began its turn, 12 long months away. He folded up his uniform with the medals tucked inside, started living for today. But the present could not find him, nor could his wife and kids. He was there, but he was gone. And soon his only comfort was a bottle and his gun, something right that went so wrong. Silence keeps on coming as the movie plays again. You can smell that yellow dust and death hanging on the wind. And we thought the war was over, but the headlines do reveal that another soldier died today on the hometown battlefield. Sits outside the courthouse with his pant legs tucked away, and no one knows his name. One wrong step there in the sand put him where he is today. One more just the same. All his memories live there in the space below his knees, back when he was whole. That IED didn't just relieve him of his legs, it blew apart his soul. And the silence keeps on coming as the movie plays again. You can smell that yellow dust and death flying on the wind. And we thought the war was over, but the headlines do reveal that another soldier died today on the hometown battlefield. And if you're wearing loafers, you ain't walked the burning sands, and you ain't never had to shoot another living man. It don't matter if we won, it don't matter if we lost, they were following their orders, no matter the cost. So I remember what they've given when I see my flag unfurled, free against the sky. And the way we seem to lose them when they get back to the world, can someone tell me why? That the silence keeps on coming as the movie plays again. You can smell that yellow dust and death hanging on the wind. Oh, we thought the war was over, but the headlines do reveal that another soldier died today on the hometown battlefield. Yes, we pray the war is over, but the headlines do reveal that another soldier died today on the hometown battlefield.
Well, that was Hometown Battlefield. Quite an extraordinary song. You may remember that Prime Minister Jean Chrétien refused to send troops to Iraq when pressured mightily by President George W. Bush following the September 11 attacks on the United States. Well, the quid pro quo for this refusal was a Canadian commitment from Prime Minister Paul Martin at the time that we would agree to take on the most difficult, challenging, and hazardous mission in Afghanistan. J.P. Cormier wrote a song about Canada's involvement in Afghanistan, and lest we forget, the number of Canadian forces fatalities resulting from Canadian military activities in Afghanistan is the largest for any single Canadian military mission since the Korean War between 1950 and 1953. A total of 159 Canadian forces personnel have been killed in the war since 2002. And in memory of our fallen soldiers in Afghanistan, here is Cape Breton singer-songwriter J.P. Cormier with his composition entitled Afghanistan.
I signed up for the forces when I was 21. The work ran out in Sydney and the fisheries were done. I thought I'd see the world, have a pension and some fun. But all of that went down the tubes in September of 01. Innocence was ended when our boots touched burning sand and our eyes beheld the beauty of a scarred and beaten land. A strange and wondrous people we'd never seen before. Their eyes so full of hope and their hearts an open door. Dust to dust, the clouds rise high below an endless sun. And the lights burn bright in memories of the town where I come from. So I'll do the job that I came here to do by any means I can. Afghanistan. Well, I never was a coward. I know bravery's admired, but I damn near shit my britches on my first trip past the wire. I got shot at by the farmers I'd fed the other day, and an old man stopped the convoy and just blew himself away. There's different kinds of evil, I know I've seen my share. But the men behind these travesties don't even seem to care. They serve their God by hating all the children that we've saved. And the girls walking proudly, unafraid to show their face. Dust to dust, the clouds rise high below an endless sun. And the lights burn bright in memories of the town where I come from. So I'll do the job that I came here to do by any means I can. Afghanistan. Macaulay was a signalman, I knew him pretty well. He stepped up to the job one day and it blew him all to hell. That's one hard way to get a ticket on a homebound plane. And one more plaque upon the cairn and one more faded name. So we carry on the work we do, it's the way that we were trained. But it's more about the place we're from, we'll never be ashamed. I wear my patches proudly, my nation on my sleeve. until the job is finished, there'll be no time to grieve. Dust to dust, the clouds rise high below an endless sun, and the lights burn bright in memories of the town where I come from. So I'll do the job that I came here to do. These soldiers of the Northland, free and true. Yes, we'll do the job that we came here to do, by any means we can. Afghanistan, Afghanistan, Afghanistan.
Well, that was Afghanistan, everyone. Now, I made reference earlier to the Leonard Cohen recitation of In Flanders Fields that was done in collaboration with the Canadian Legion. This next song was written by award-winning composer Michael Riley, who is well known throughout the Ottawa Valley as one of Canada's leading bluegrass songwriters. His composition, Be Quiet When Willie Walks By, pays respect to our Legionnaires, and legions you'll find are vets all over Canada. And lest we forget, here is Be Quiet When Willie Walks By.
Did you see the old boys with their uniforms on, marching down Street today? Some helped the others as they went along. Their minds seemed so far away. When they laid the wreath at the top of the hill, I saw some of them cry as they thought of the friends they knew long ago, in ages long since gone. And old Willie Johnson walked all alone as the rain come a-tumbling down. And then someone laughed as Willie drew near, for he was the drunk of the town. And came over and he said, "You know, Willie, he's one heck of a guy. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. So be quiet when Willie walks by." He sold all his medals a long time ago for the hope that a bottle can hold. But it's hard to crawl out of the cracks in your soul when the last of your pride has been sold. Deep down inside, there's a heart of pure gold and a spirit that money can't buy. So remember, my friends, and bow to the truth. Be quiet when Willie walks by. Please be quiet when Willie walks by.
So that was Michael O'Reilly's Be Quiet When Willie Walks By. Send that out to all you Legionnaires. And on another local note, Ottawa singer-songwriter and band leader Charlie Somer, who many of you will know, or some of you know anyway, from this show, once he, a show he used to host, actually on a sister community radio station, so that would be CKCU-FM in Ottawa. You may know him from his band, the Shirt-Tearing Boys, as well, kind of a country folky band. And he's written about a song about a local soldier that was recorded by Atlantic singer-songwriter Laura Smith. Charlie's composition is a true story of Ottawa's Kenny Smith, a young lad who fell in World War II and whose grandmother, Nan, was so heartbroken that it took her over 40 years to travel to Italy to visit his grave. Here is For the Last Time I Watched.
For the last time I watched, the sails blew about the bay. Each and everybody waved. The tears ran down my face from the fires in the field. The sky was filled with smoke, lifting everybody's hopes forward. Lifting everybody's hopes forward.
Hey folks, it's J.P. Cormier here. You're listening to my old buddy Ron Moore on Sounds Atlantic.
So that's Laura Smith singing a Charlie Somer composition for the last time I watched, about a young Ottawa lad who fought in the Second World War. Now, during the First World War, Newfoundland, then a dominion like Canada, contributed disproportionately to the British war effort. And I say this as a result of the Battle of Beaumont-Hamel, which we'll describe here briefly. At the Battle of Beaumont-Hamel, it was part of the greater war effort at the Somme, part of the larger Battle of the Somme, as I say. She gave up some 800 soldiers in the space of a half an hour, thanks to the wizardry of Britain's General Haig, whose battlefield strategies were rooted in the 19th century of cavalry warfare, and for this he was promoted to Brigadier General at the end of the war, having sent about 20,000 soldiers to their death at the Battle of the Somme. Go figure how that happens. Several years back, thanks to my good buddy Ed Kay, we visited the battlefield at Beaumont-Hamel. I can still feel the horror of imagining on that battlefield how 800 young Newfoundland boys lost their lives within an hour, so quickly and so needlessly. There wasn't an outport in Newfoundland and Labrador that wasn't affected by this disastrous battle at Beaumont-Hamel. Young fishermen, farmers, clergymen, college grads, professionals, entrepreneurs, they were the cream of the crop of the Dominion, whose loss would affect the economic and political welfare of Newfoundland and Labrador for decades to come. July 1st remains Newfoundland's National Day of Remembrance and Celebration. The song Valley of Kilbride remembers these young Newfoundland and Labradorian soldiers, and lest we forget, in memory of the horrific losses at Beaumont-Hamel, here is the Newfoundland trio called The Once with Valley of Kilbride.
Ours and still will be, wild stars shine up above.
Oh, no man.
On no man's land they rushed across. You could hear their charging cry. No coward's blood runs through their veins. They'll conquer now or die. They gave there's a lovely girl who waits for me and thinks that I'll come home. Go and tell her that in Bowering Park we never more shall roam. We never shall meet on earth, since you and I must part. Still her memory lingers yet within my beating heart. And there's a photo that she gave to me.
So that's the Valley of Kilbride on a more general level. On a more particular level, Terry Penny wrote a song about a fictitious soldier who fought in this battle. And so, as I say, it was part of the Battle of the Somme. So Terry refers to the Battle of Somme rather than the Battle of Beaumont-Hamel. Goes like this.
Smiling at me from the road, a picture on a stone in a graveyard overgrown. The name as I looked down was Benny Brown. 90 years ago, he set out from the coast, off to fight the war to end all wars. How his mama must have cried, saying farewell to her child, as she wrapped her arms around Benny Brown. Benny Brown came from a little town, left cattle field for battlefield to go fight for the crown. He was just 21 at the Battle of the Somme when the Germans cut him down. Benny Brown. Well, they gathered at the front in the early morning sun. A regiment made up of island boys, standing hip to hip, every bayonet was fixed as they waited for the dreaded whistle's noise. They went over the top, under the jack, knowing goddamn well that they might never make it back. And it was long before my time, still I'm overcome with pride. How could they lay the young lives down? Whoa, Benny Brown came from a little town, left cattle field for battlefield to go fight for the crown. He was just 21 at the Battle of the Somme, when the Germans cut him down, Benny Brown. Said we lost him in the drive. Ma'am, rest assured, your boy fought brave and well. The day they laid him low, his face was to the foe. The British Empire's proud of Benny Brown. He went over the top, under the jack, knowing goddamn well that he might never make it back. And it was long before my time, still I'm overcome with pride. How could he lay his young life down? Whoa, Benny Brown came from a little town, left cattle field for battlefield to go fight for the crown. He was just 21 at the Battle of the Somme, when the Germans cut him down, Benny Brown. Whoa, Benny Brown came from a little town, left cattle field for battlefield to go fight for the crown. He was just 21, so when every July comes, let the drums and bugles sound for Benny Brown.
That's Terry Penny with Benny Brown.
Hi, I'm Geraldine Hallett from The Once. You're listening to my lovely friend, Ron Moore.
Please fill up your mind. I hope you do not cry.
When I was a young man, I carried my pack and lived the free life of the rover.
From the Murray's Green Basin to the dusty outback, I waltzed my Matilda all over.
Now, Canada, of course, was not alone in opposing the axis of fascist forces during World War I. All the Commonwealth nations made enormous sacrifices, including those from Australia and New Zealand. And of course, it's another equally horrific World War story that follows, about losses suffered by soldiers from the Commonwealth during the First World War. The story is about the losses suffered by Australians, in particular at Gallipoli, a theater of war the Newfoundland Regiment evacuated when they were redeployed to the Somme. So that's kind of why I'm tying these two together. So when the Newfoundland Regiment left Gallipoli, the Australians moved in, and this is a story about that. You'll hear John Allen Cameron's voice in the beginning. So lest we forget, here to describe the nightmare of Gallipoli is Nova Scotia singer-songwriter and close friend of J.P. Cormier, as a matter of fact. He's Dave Gunning. And as I say, the introduction is done by the late John Allen Cameron.
Our blood stained the sand and the water.
When I was a young man, I carried my pack and lived the free life of the rover.
From the Murray's Green Basin to the dusty outback, I waltzed my Matilda all over.
Then in 1915, my country said, son, It's time to stop rambling, there's work to be done.
They gave me a tin hat, they gave me a gun. They sent me away to the war.
And the band played Waltzing Matilda as the ship pulled away from the quay. Amid all the tears, flags waving and cheers, we sailed off for Gallipoli. It's well I remember that terrible day. Our blood stained the sand and the water, and how in that hell that they called Suvla Bay, we were butchered like lambs at the slaughter. Johnny Turkey was ready, he primed himself well. He rained us with bullets, he showered us with shells, and in 5 minutes flat we were all blown to hell. He blew us back home to Australia, and the band played Waltzing Matilda as we stopped to bury our slain. We buried ours, and the Turks buried theirs, and it started all over again. Those who were living just tried to survive that mad world of blood, death, and fire. For 10 weary weeks I kept myself alive. There around me the corpses piled higher. Then a big turkey shell knocked me arse overhead, and when I awoke in my hospital bed, when I saw what it had done, I wished I was dead. I never knew there were worse things than dying. For no more a waltzing Matilda, all around the green bush far and near, to hunt tent and pigs, man needs both legs. No more waltzing Matilda for me. They collected the wounded, the crippled, the maimed. They shipped us back home to Australia. The armless, the legless, the blind, the insane, all those proud wounded heroes of Suvla. And when the ship pulled into Circular Quay, I looked at the place where my legs used to be, and thank Christ there was no one there waiting for me. Mourning, to grieving, to pity. And the band played Waltzing Matilda as they carried us down the gangway. But nobody cheered, they just stood there and stared, and they turned all their faces away. Now every April I sit on my porch, I watch my parade pass before me. I see my old comrades, how proudly they march,
renewing their deeds of past glory. I see the old men all bent stiff and sore, the tired old heroes of a forgotten war. And the young people ask, what are they marching for? And I ask myself the same question. And the band plays Waltzing Matilda. The old men still answer the call, but year after year the numbers get fewer. Someday no one will march there at all. Waltzing Matilda, waltzing Matilda, you come waltzing Matilda with me. We built those boats down at the shipyard for 40 years or more.
Hey, this is Dave Gunning, and you're listening to Sounds Atlantic with my good buddy Ron Moores on CJHR-FM radio.
These days I watch the night fall across a tired floor, far too old for working anymore.
So that was the Battle of Gallipoli. That's the band played Waltzing Matilda, sung for you by Picto, Nova Scotia singer-songwriter Dave Gunning. Now this song is this next song is composed by the Spinney Brothers from Nova Scotia. They've been guests here many times. Are now retired to their farms in the Gaspereau Valley. They had a terrifically successful career in the North American bluegrass scene, as y'all know, and as I say, they've now retired. But they wrote this song about the loss that women experience when their young men go off to war, and they wait and they wait and they wait and they never return. Here's Sally's Waltz.
Gas station coffee, grabbing breakfast on the road. Blue of his eyes, shine of his boots matched her hair. They swayed to the music, all wrapped up in love, like they were the only ones there. His heart was so heavy, while hers was so gay, he had his orders to leave with the dawn. While she dreamed of marriage, they were marching away, and when she awoke, he was gone. Now Sally's waltzing alone in her room, with all of the shades pulled down. Nothing's as lonely as dancing alone, with only a memory to hold. Went straight through her heart and tore her young world apart. She's lost in mind now, just like a child. For years she's been dancing alone. Now Sally's she's waltzing alone in her room with all of the shades pulled down. Nothing's as lonely as dancing alone with only a memory to hold. Only a memory to hold. Now Sally's waltzing alone in her room with all shades pulled down. Nothing's as lonely as dancing alone with only a memory to hold. With only his memory to hold.
I'm Rick Spinney with the Spinney Brothers Bluegrass Band, and you're listening to Sounds Atlantic. Stay tuned to the finest acoustic and roots music from artists in Atlantic Canada.
Sweet corn was wrapped in the feed.
So that's Sally's Waltz done for you by the Spinney Brothers. Well, that's the end of part one of this podcast, but don't go away. The second half is just a click away, and just before you click, I'll take a second to remind you that next week, there will be a special tribute to the music of the late Ron Hines, so don't miss that.